Start your own radio show now and join our amazing radio family of fun and interesting talent. Be the radio star you've always wanted to be. Visit LATalkRadio.com or email info at LATalkRadio.com now and start your own show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly. What's shaking?
Oh, wow. This is a busy, busy last couple of days. So my niece's wedding has finally come and gone. It was like a fairy tale wedding. Oh. It was really intense. We had the hair and the makeup. I think she had 8 or 9 bridesmaids and some flower girls. And it was big. There was 200 people.
Wow.
It was very, very grand. So lots of family, lots of people to see, lots of things to do. You know, Friday night rehearsal, Saturday event, Sunday brunch. I'm tired.
I can imagine.
You know that I don't sleep anyway.
I know,
sometimes,
right?
Sometimes I've even slept less than not sleeping, so I'm really exhausted. And then our air conditioning broke.
Again? So, was this the second time? Oh, it's just the first time? Oh, somebody
it's
else
been
I know.
A little bit slow and sluggish, but it decided it didn't want to spit out any cold air at all. So not sleeping, being overheated.
And I know you're hot anyway.
Oh, so I had wet towels all over me. I wake up to the soggy rag. Me.
Oh, my God.
I was the soggy rag. Didn't seem to bother my cat. Puppy cat, he still sits right next to me. And that's he's like a fur coat.
Right.
The other crawls in between Chris and me. And this one just like a fur warmer, a neck warmer.
Ooh.
Like, really? So if I'm cranky, you'll know why.
Yeah.
How are you, girl?
So did I tell you to sign up for a mud run?
Yes, you did.
I know. It's crazy.
Crazy bitch.
And now I'm getting really scared. Yes. Now I'm getting really scared because I looked at the website and it's 50 obstacles.
What?
50 obstacles. So I'm like freaking out. So I decided to like start the training today, like in my own way. So I put on a YouTube video of like boot camp. I swear to God, I might have done like 8 minutes and I was like sweating bullets and I'm like, I'm dying. Like, this is not worth this pain. Like,
so let's say you go out there and you really can't finish it. Is it okay to just quit or can you walk through it? Can you do other things?
That's okay.
Okay, good.
For my friend who's doing it with me, I don't know if that's okay. She's pretty intense. So we'll see what happens. That's what he said. I said, I'm not scared of the mud run. I'm actually like scared of you. Like, and because she's so intense and like, I feel competitive. So
is she training along with you? Like, are you trying to do something together? Is she teaching you how to train?
No, she's not. She's training kind of on her own too, but she goes at night. If I work out at night, I'm up like the whole night. I can't work out at like 7:38 at night. I'll be up the whole night. It gives me like
wired.
That second wind. Yeah. So I usually do it in the morning, but that's my story.
Okay. So any other stories or should we kind of launch right in?
Yeah,
right
let's in? Launch.
We have an exciting guest today. But last week we did have Diane Lovall, or Shelley Diane Lovall.
Yes.
She's awesome. She talked to us about Reiki therapy and we got to have a little sample of that before the show.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Crystals and all that. She's a really cool woman. Has had a tremendous amount of loss and suffering in her life from family addictions and, and such. And she was just awesome.
She was great.
And she's a friend of my friend from middle school.
So cool, the connection. And she wrote a book about her experience with her son's addictions. I think
Absolutely.
It was Winds of Change. So
yes.
Check that out if you missed that show.
Drum roll. This week in studio, we have Dr. Sherry. I guess her formal name is Cheryl Ross, and she is an award-winning OBGYN, entrepreneur, author, and women's health expert, and has been practicing OBGYN for 25 years in Santa Monica, California. The Hollywood Reporter named her as one of the best doctors in Los Angeles. How impressive. Castle Connolly named her as a top doctor and exceptional woman in the specialty of obstetrics and gynecology, and she was selected as the 2017 Southern California Super Doctor. Wow, this is amazing. Mm. She recently received a Patient's Choice Award for Compassionate Doctor Recognition and was named as the top 10 obstetrics and gynecologist. She received her doctorate in medicine from New York Medical College and completed her OBGYN residency at the University of Southern California School of Medicine. She lives in Los Angeles with her wife and 3 sons. This is so good to have you here. Welcome, Dr. Sherry.
I am so excited to be here.
Well, I loved you the moment. So I don't know if you even saw this, but on the social media, I put out there like, let's talk vaginas. And then Dr. Sherry was like right in there. She's like, yeah, let's talk vaginas. It was so great.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really funny.
I didn't know that. Yeah, we were going to talk vaginas and a whole bunch of other things. But we do want to introduce you for your book also. She has a new book out that just came out this year. And it is called She-Ology, which I guess is the study of she.
That's it.
Right?
That's
so
it.
Cool.
Women's health.
And I love the cover. The cover is so cool. I'm going to describe it. It's like, it's
a tangerine that looks like a vagina.
Is it an orange or a tangerine?
That's right.
Yeah,
well,
one of those.
It's a tangerine.
Oh, it is a tangerine. Right, yeah, yeah. But it's perfect.
Yeah, there's no rules in my book, so you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's great. It's such
it's
perfect.
It's a Rorschach.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Right?
It does look like a Rorschach.
You both can appreciate that.
Totally. I mean, there's the... Yeah, well,
it's wonderful.
Yeah,
beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, right?
It's
according
true.
To my perfect V.
So, why do you think there was a need to write your book?
Well, the book sort of spoke to me in that my patients, I kept hearing the most common, the most sensitive questions, the most sensationalized cultural taboos asked of me every day. And after a while, I thought to myself, women really need to hear some of the answers to these common questions, because if my patients are asking, mm-hmm. and they weren't the more common questions that we read about in our bodies ourselves or some of the ones you read online, I assume that this information was vital for all women, mm-hmm. either whether you had a vagina or wished you had a vagina or you loved a vagina, the content of this book would speak to you.
Yeah.
And I like to think of it as sort of the non-traditional 21st century version of our bodies ourselves,
uh-huh.
because times are different than they were 30 years ago.
Absolutely.
Well,
go ahead.
I
you
was
have
just
your favorite.
Say,
you got to ask
my
your favorite question.
Question is there such thing? I love this question. As a perfect vagina?
Yeah. Well, you have one. I haven't even seen it, and I need. You know, this was came from a number of women that I saw coming into my office asking me about the vagina, their lips, their how they looked, how they mm-hmm. appeared, what was normal, what was not, what was the perfect vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it came down to a conversation, came down to pulling out a mirror
mm-hmm.
and looking and sort of exploring and teaching women their anatomy and educating them on different is normal.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, as you were saying that, and this is not even a question I had thought to ask, but I'm going to bring it up because I have done a lot of working with couples in with sex addiction and porn addiction in particular,
mm-hmm.
and with the accessibility and the increased usage of pornography. Have you seen a greater trend in women's insecurities about their vaginas?
Absolutely.
Really?
I mean, this is really sort of the core of the chapter because I had a young woman come in with big crocodile tears in her eyes, and she said to me, my boyfriend said my cooch isn't sexy, my lips are plus size, and that he wanted to have it changed. He wanted me to have more of a perfect vagina. And I was, you know, I was somewhat speechless. I rarely am, but it made me realize the effect of porn
mm-hmm.
and how half of women don't think their vagina looks normal.
Right.
You know, the average age of someone looking at porn now is around 13. They stumble upon it. So I think social media and the porn has really hurt us, you know, made us sexually insecure, made us mm-hmm. insecure about our bodies, our mm-hmm. vaginas, and this is really part of the problem. It's an epidemic, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you a funny story that you reminded me of when you talked about this gal coming in and saying that her private parts or her open parts were not pleasing to him. It reminded me the first time I went to get a bikini wax, and I went to this lady, and she was this big French German
woman
who was about 350 pounds. And I'm like, oh God, I don't know, is she going to kill me or what?
Right.
And so she was trying to make me feel comfortable, and she tells me the funniest story. She says she has this, it was a Middle Eastern woman who came in, mm-hmm. and she said, my husband wants me to be waxed from head to toe. Okay. And she said, no problem. When is his next appointment? Because we do him first.
Oh,
and then I'm
that.
Happy to do you.
That's great.
Exactly.
So
well, that's just it. I mean, you don't hear women. I mean, you know, when was the last time a group of women were talking about their partner's testicles and
yes.
how funny the shape was? And,
such
you know,
a good
I mean,
point.
They're not, you know, let's face it.
They're
yes.
all different.
Everyone,
yes.
anything that comes in twos in our body is it's not mm-hmm. symmetrical. It looks different. It changes with mm-hmm. age. And, you know, so the perfect vagina, getting back to your question, is really, to me, about personal confidence mm-hmm. and good hygiene.
Yeah.
And good health. And educating women to embrace their bodies, to talk about it, to look at their anatomy,
sure.
and really understand that different is normal.
I just had a friend who said to me today, hand to God, she's like, Kelly, I feel like my vagina looks like a roast beef sandwich. Those exact
yeah,
terms.
Well.
She's like, after babies, you know? And she was self-conscious about it. And I never thought about it. I'm like, I'm sure your husband isn't concerned about that at all. And not even, so it's just sort of interesting how we hold all these insecurities around that.
Well, and in part, just what's happening with social media, the internet, and porn. I mean, porn has really, been a huge problem in hypersexualizing young women and even young men. I mean, our perception of a healthy romantic relationship has been scarred by porn and mm-hmm. its effect. And I hear it now in my examining rooms, and this is really a problem. And, Ashley Benson introduces the chapter because she will tell you she has the perfect vagina.
Mm-hmm.
But in truth, it's really about your self-confidence, and it's a bigger messaging.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Body.
Sure. Makes sense.
And what is the truth in terms of when a woman has a vaginal childbirth, in terms of how much does it stretch out? How resilient is it? How mm-hmm. much does it go back? Because I hear a huge range of people saying, you know, my husband doesn't want to have sex with me anymore because now it's too loose. And
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's truth to that in that. After having babies, and certainly it depends on the number of babies you've had, the size of the baby, mm-hmm. you know, the trauma you've had down there, it changes the shape to some degree, mm-hmm. and certainly sometimes the color of the labia gets mm-hmm. a little darker with time, but it's not a dramatic change. I think the opening of the vagina can change, which men often comment about that maybe they feel more looseness,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if it's bad, if it's significant, interfering with their sexual and intimate relationship, I would talk to a doctor about getting a reconstruction mm-hmm. and getting it fixed, because it
sure.
can be fixed. But there are, I should just point out, there are women that do have labia mm-hmm. that are abnormally shaped. You know, I had a 16-year-old who was on the swim team, and she had to tuck in one of her labia because it was literally 4 inches long.
Wow.
And when she wore a bathing suit for her swim team events, there would be a bulge. So there are cases, of course, mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. there are abnormal labia
sure.
and lips that do need correcting. And that is a conversation. And actually, on my website, on mm-hmm. you look at my VVL, where it's referenced in the Perfect V, I have examples of all the abnormal shaped vaginas, if you really want a good show.
Yes.
I will. It's
totally
fascinating.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Is that a chromosomal?
No, it's just as our ears are shaped differently, our breasts uh-huh. are shaped differently.
Yeah.
It's very, very common to by nature.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, not that
sure.
it's common to have abnormal lips 4 inches mm-hmm. long, but
right.
some women do.
Fascinating. This is so interesting, really.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay, so what other questions did you have? Because I have a million. I don't want to be a radio show hog.
Well, I have a really important one, because this comes up in my practice a fair amount, and just in, you know, women I've talked to over the years, and it's the whole orgasm question. So a lot of women, as yeah. you know, still do not have orgasms to this day. They don't feel like they're entitled to them. There's still so much sexual myths and taboos out there
yes.
for women, much
yes.
more so than for men. And so it's very common, at least I have understood through the people I've spoken to not really be all that interested in learning how to have an orgasm with a partner. Like a lot of these women, they know how to masturbate and they can have orgasms, but the self-consciousness in getting, you know, attached to somebody, and because they've seen a lot of their relationship be relationships be more short term, they haven't really worked at trying to figure that out. So their automatic go-to reflex is to want the guy to be happy, wanting him to believe that he's pleasing her, not fake being it. Able, so faking from the start, and then finding themselves, you know, a year or two into the relationship saying, I really love this person. I'd love to have that experience. And then they're just like, some of them will literally say, well, I could never tell him that. And I say, no, you're going to think about that for the next 40, 50 years of your life. Never. So you're going to have to broach that subject. Yeah. So I love to have your expert advice around
that.
Well,
you brought up so many so many important points. You know, the bashful V, it was introduced by Angela Nazarian, who has a Persian upbringing and speaks to how orgasms and sexual conversations just weren't discussed. And this is sort of what leads to women, the 10 to 20% who've never had an orgasm, which is sort of a separate issue. For the ones that are masturbating, at least having orgasms on their own, I say, great job and congratulations. That's so important. Mm-hmm. But it's not good to fake orgasms. And I found a statistic that almost 60% of women with heterosexual sex do fake orgasms.
Wow. That's 60% all the time.
Not all the time.
Okay.
But just,
but have done it.
Yeah.
But it was a high number that repeatedly are faking it. And I think this is just, you know, speaks to the most important part about sexual interaction with your partner, and that's good communication. Mm-hmm. And, you know, masturbation's great for laying down the roadmap and being able to tell your partner, you know, look, this is what pleases me, this is what doesn't, I like it more when you do this. And, you know, for your patient who is now 2 years and not having an orgasm with her partner, I mean, I think it's just important to just have to take that honest conversation and have it, and you don't want to ever starve yourself from having good intimate health with your partner.
Sure.
So she really has to have that conversation.
Yeah, I wish I could say it was just one patient. I mean, over the years,
really?
This has been many, many.
Yeah,
many.
A lot of women do, and because a lot of women, you know, they don't want to hurt their partner's feelings, or you know, it takes work. I mean, this is it's such a taboo, and there's so much shame for women to express their sexual health.
Sure.
And, you know, why can't women have orgasm? Why can't we demand it as much as men? I mean, I think it's just part of this whole, you know, I want to create this whole change of the narrative of women's health and our bodies and the vagina, and kind of create a vagina revolution.
Yes.
So that this is not a conversation that's put, you know, sort of to the back burner.
Sure. I've never faked it, by the way. Can you believe
that? Good for you. I hope David is listening.
I really haven't. I'm not kidding. But because I think that I've spoken up and I'm like, no, do this, do that.
Right.
And I think
he probably appreciates it.
Yes. You have to be like those airplane control people. Like this way, that way, this way, you know?
You also have a really open-minded husband in so many ways, you know, and I think think that a lot of men out there have some responsibility in creating this as well, and feeling like, you know, that they have to pound on their chests and, you know, I was able to make her come. And, you know, if men could get more into the attitude of this is going to be an experimental job for the two of us.
Yes.
You know,
that's
you with me and me with you. So let's navigate that journey together and not have these unrealistic expectations. Because when you don't know somebody, how in the world are they going to get to know, even if you know somebody in an emotional way, you don't know them necessarily in a physical way, and still you trial and error. Yes.
And, you know, another interesting statistic that 25% of men have faked orgasms in the past.
Really?
And it was really funny because a lot of men are like, ah, that's just no way, it's impossible. But, you know, I was talking to a former ranger in the Army, and I was having this conversation. I can't use names, he'll kill me. But And I brought the statistic up, and he gave me this look like a deer in headlights, and I'm like, have you faked it before? And he's like, I have. So it's not unusual for the same reasons, to get it over with, maybe, or, you know, you made the bad choice. Not the longer-term relationships, but those that are, you know, sort of not glad that they took this person to bed with them.
Well, but also now after a vasectomy, there's no more, is there any more liquid?
There's still
that comes
fluid.
There's still fluid.
Yeah.
Because
just
that's what
sperm.
I see. No one could ever get that one over on
me. Yes. Right? Yeah, exactly.
You know, when the lights are out, sometimes it's hard to tell.
Right, exactly.
And with all the secretions or wearing a condom. You know,
yes,
you know,
exactly. You can't tell. Yeah.
Hopefully everyone's wearing a condom.
Yes.
Right? Let's just say that.
Actually, that's a great question to ask. What percent of diseases do condoms prevent? Yeah. Like, is it 99%? I've heard. Yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah, that is a
how effective
question.
Is it? Yeah,
you know, I talk about this in my Bench V chapter because I'm a huge proponent of women and mm-hmm. bringing their condoms with them wherever they go.
Yeah.
You know, they do prevent. I don't know if there's exact statistic because it's not 100%. Is it 90% mm-hmm. preventing chlamydia, gonorrhea? Yes.
Okay.
You know, because that's going to be more transmitted through the head of the penis, mm-hmm. you know, into uh-huh. the vagina, into the cervix.
Yeah.
Whereas HPV, which is right. the most common STD and uh-huh. is epidemic out there, which of course you cannot see in mm-hmm. men, and mm-hmm. often in women you can't see that. It's microscopically transmitted. If there's a lesion or HPV at the base of the penis, for example, that can easily be transmitted through, even if he's wearing a condom.
Oh, really?
So it's very...
Wow.
Listen, it's out there. You know, even if you've gotten the vaccine, which I highly recommend, mm-hmm. We're still seeing HPV spread. And I think the other question I always ask my single women, regardless of age, because even, you know, women who are older who are newly divorced, they're not having their partner wear condoms. So mm-hmm. condoms until you're at the Bel Air Bay Club getting married. Right. You know, I honestly think you sort of have to make it just part of the intimacy mm-hmm. process.
Sure.
Awesome. I can't believe how many people out there, though, that I've heard, I've been a perpetrator of this myself, you go, I just don't like them, so I'm not going to use them. It's like, you know, that part of your brain that's supposed to be working isn't working then so well anyway, that I think you kind of have to have that commitment to yourself before you're in one of those situations.
Yeah, it's always a good conversation before you have sex with a new partner mm-hmm. to really have that conversation. You know, what STDs have you had? This is what mm-hmm. I've had. What mm-hmm. have you had? You know, let's just do it right. Let's just have safe sex, mm-hmm. wear a condom, and I think you're right. It has to be said before.
And that's the sad part about the porn industry, because it blows all of that out of the water. It's not necessary, right? You can get off, you can do whatever you want, and it's free, it's easy, and there is no there's no responsibility in that. And, you know, people will say, well, that's so unromantic, having that conversation, but it's not very romantic to get a diagnosis of HPV.
That's what I was thinking.
And the precursor to, isn't that cervical cancer?
Exactly, and that's, you know, it's the female, it's the woman that's going to end up getting the call from the gynecologist to say, hey, on your pap smear, I found mm-hmm. HPV. And most of the time they're mortified because either they've gotten the vaccination, they've been having their partner wear a condom. Not always, mm-hmm. but they're always surprised.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I have a question about libido.
Okay. Always a good question.
Yes, exactly. Because I know that, you know, for my friends, I mean, I'm in my late 30s, like a lot of them have dropped. And is this normal to sort of wax and wane over time? And what do you do if you have lost it?
Yeah. You know, I think if you're describing, you know, women who've been in a long-term relationship, maybe mm-hmm. had a couple kids, there's a lot of sort of reflex and less spontaneity in the bedroom. I mean, I think for women, the distraction and low libido tends to be your head hits the pillow and really you're like, oh, can't wait to go get some sleep. Mm-hmm. Whereas you're not really thinking about being sexual or mm-hmm. being touched or kissed, because it takes a lot more work for women mm-hmm. to be responsive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, for men, it's a lot different. I think our sexual response is so different. Mm-hmm. So when you look at stress and work and financial issues and maybe even relationship issues, mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of reasons why women's libido are low.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Resentments.
A lot of
You know, resentment's huge.
That's often the first question I'll ask my patient is, well, how's your relationship? You know, you know, is he or she doing what you want them to do? Are they doing their chores? Are they being nice to you? Are they romancing the stone a little bit? Or, you know, is it just sort of, you know, not as creative or loving or intimate as you want it to be? Because most women often would rather be hugged and cuddled at night.
Sure.
Then have to go through the actual motion. Process of having an orgasm, because mm-hmm. it can take a lot more work.
Sure.
So funny, because I'd say that like 99% of the couples who have come to me for sex therapy, it's always couples therapy.
Yes.
You know, exactly. It's always about, that's cool. We got underneath there, but let's get to those resentments. Let's get to what you have been saying you would do and haven't been doing for all these years.
It's so true. I mean, I have a couple now, and the man is not working, and the wife is resentful. And he's like, we haven't had sex. Come on, like, I want to be close to you. And she's like, that's the last thing I can think about right now. I'm so angry, you know? So yes. It is. It's such a emotional thing, I think, for a lot of women.
Yeah. And as women's responsibilities have sort of become more as in time with working and also having to be the mother and raising mm-hmm. the children. I mean, I think women are amazing in that way. We do so many things. We do it well. And I think sometimes the partner has to keep up.
Yes. Mm. Absolutely. So we are
back
talking...
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to do a reintro of Dr. Sherry Ross. She is the author of She-ology.
And if anybody does want to give us a call, you can call right in, 323-203-0815. I just want to hit on libido a little bit more in specific to menopausal women's hormones and the lack of sleep.
Yes. Well, you were talking earlier in the show about sweating, and it dawned on me, I wonder what your hormone levels were and if you're in that stage
of
life.
They're pretty wacko. I'm not a big proponent for myself of taking hormones, so I just kind of weather it, and I try to have a great sense of humor about it and keep a lot of wet towels around.
Yeah.
And I don't break out as much now in that full-fledged sweat that I used to. It could be like 60 degrees in the room, and I would just have a full-fledged, you know, like as if I just run 4 miles.
Yeah. Right.
So that not as much. But at night, for sure, if the temperature isn't really cold, and it does disrupts me because I have my Fitbit that tells me my sleep, and I'm like barely ever going into deep sleep.
Yeah.
And that can be it for days, weeks at a time.
Yes, yes.
Well, I want to know your thoughts about hormone therapy, too.
What do you have any recommendations? Do you think it's better to go on hormones?
You know, this is a very common conversation. And the way it has to be dealt with is always individualized and how it affects or disrupts your daily activities.
Mm-hmm.
So if you notice it at night and you still feel rested during the day and it's not affecting your ability to be a great therapist
mm-hmm.
or be a good, you know, wife or a good friend, then we don't necessarily talk about the need. You could try to do lifestyle approach to it, whether it's acupuncture, certain herbs are more beneficial, exercising, you know, things that are helpful along that way. But when it's disruptive, you know, for women who are working and they really need their good sleep, or they're just, you know, feeling really depressed
mm-hmm.
or anxious or having heart palpitations, they need it. It's like crack. They need it, and it's safe. It's very safe in low-risk patients.
Right. Okay. And is a high-risk patient those who have, like, history of breast cancer?
Well,
or
certainly breast cancer concerns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a blood clotting history.
Okay.
You know, family history that's really strong to breast cancer. But the studies show 10 years using HRT is completely safe. The first 10 years,
that's what
no
I heard. Yeah.
Increased risk of breast cancer.
Oh, that's good.
I'll hold out for as long as I can. What about those tests, though, the mammograms now, where mine comes in and tells me my percentage of
density.
A chance to have, ever have breast cancer? It's like 0.06.
Oh, really?
So it's really low. Do you think those are accurate?
I think they're pretty accurate. I mean, we're looking now at breast density as being a risk factor for breast cancer. The more densities you have, the greater your risk. The other, I should mention that passion flower extract works really well for hot flashes.
Oh, really?
And there are some great herbs that work really well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another.
Oh, that's good.
Passion flower extract. I bet Tiffany will know something
about
that.
Yes, she definitely
knows. My daughter's an Ayurvedic.
I have something that's really good, too, that I'll send you that's helpful. So
lovely.
You have to be creative.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not looking forward to this. Like, everyone I talk to who's, like, gone through the menopause, it's just like...
It's a different stage of life. And, in fact, I do like to look at life chapters as hormonal chapters.
Uh-huh.
You know, we don't really break it down, but I've sort of broken it down into 7 different life cycles driven by hormones. Because then you can optimize those chapters more specifically if you really can hone
Smart.
In on the problems.
Yeah.
But Kelly, just to comfort you, there are so many benefits of going through the change of life. You're calmer. Well,
I am. Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm calmer. I'm not as phased by a lot of things.
Oh,
I have a value shift, you know, in the terms of, I'm so much more grateful about stuff.
Oh, that's good.
So much less of a drama queen most of the time.
Get rid of the tampons.
Hello. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I literally stored those just in case for 2 years, like it's time to go.
Right.
I didn't donate them. I guess I could have.
Not you can,
But also, Kelly, based on the craziness of your life right now, it's easy.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
And by then, they'll have even more things that they know of for the hot flashes and all that
kind
of
stuff. Probably true.
That'll be safe and easy. Yeah.
All right, cool. You touched on, I wanted to say, menopause in the vagina, because that's a very important area where estrogen's like watering the grass, you know, and you turn off the water, the vagina gets really, really dry.
Oh.
And so if you're not taking estrogen, and maybe not this year for you, but down the road, over time, the vagina gets very dry, tissue gets thin, you don't have that great lubrication, sex is really painful, and there are things you can do besides good lubes, and I love extra virgin coconut oil also as a great lubricant.
Oh.
It's good for just about everything.
And
But also the Mona Lisa laser is like resurfacing of the vagina and brings blood flow to the vagina. It is awesome. I've been doing on women who are in menopause. For all breast cancer patients, they definitely should be taking care of the vagina because they don't even have the option of using any estrogen. And in my Pink V chapter, I talk about it because that's another area that's under discussed, you know, sort of issues related to chemotherapy and all the cancers women experience, how it affects their sexual health, their relationship. And I'm sure you both know really well how it affects their relationship.
Sure.
And I have, you know, a 30-year-old with Hodgkin's lymphoma that's, you know, now having issues, or breast cancer patients.
I do want to say that I love the way you named your chapters, and they're so cute. It's the healthy V, the tween V, the hormonal V, the baby maker V, the mama. It's because it's like, oh, I'm going through that. Cranky V.
Yes, exactly.
So it's really, it's
there's
great.
Something in there for
that.
Everybody.
Very clever.
Got to make people laugh about it too.
Oh, I agree.
You know, you have to.
We don't want to ever feel shameful about our bodies, and I think this is part of the vagina revolution and the reason we need to change the narrative, because we don't laugh about it. We're made to feel shameful of our vaginas, our health, to talk about orgasms, to talk about what we need sexually and emotionally. And I think it's, you know, hopefully, you know, as this Trump administration, you know, puts his foot more into sort of grab him by the pussy attitude, women are going to be pissed off.
Of course.
I mean, this is just not right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need to make a change.
100%. I was there marching. Making the change.
We all have the hats, right?
The putsy hats. I love the putsy hats. It was so funny.
You know, I think the narrative has to change, and this is the year to start it.
Yes.
So back to vaginas. This is such a good topic.
Right? You can say it.
So the vagina is a self-cleaning device.
Oven.
So what is your thinking in terms of, what do they still go, douches?
Nobody douches anymore. Do they? Really?
Some people do. I mean, douching used to say don't douche.
Don't douche.
You know,
or you play a douche, right?
You know, it's kind of a funny thing because people take that so literally, like, don't clean the vagina, don't put any soap or anything even near it. And I actually have some photos in my VVL of what smegma looks like in the vagina because women are afraid to use soap in and around that area.
Oh.
So you have to think about the vagina like the skin, similar to your face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't necessarily want to use the same bar of soap under your arms, cleaning your vagina. You also always want to use sort of a more gentle or intimate wash.
Mm-hmm.
But inside?
Well, how I described is you always want to clean the outer lips and the inner area. And then I usually take like a finger, like a couple knuckles into the entrance of the vagina. And you can clean in there a little bit. You don't want to clean out the nice bacteria, the 30 or so organisms that are you know, keeping the vagina clean, just like tears in our eyes. They sort of clean
wash
it out.
Things out.
But
you
do want to clean from the sweat and the dirt and the urine and all the odors that can develop, and the glands of the skin of the vagina. You want to clean.
This makes me so sad that, like, this is just not taught. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is like the first time I've literally gotten a lesson on vaginal cleaning at 39.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Right? You don't hear about this, and it's sad.
Well, also, I think the material that you put on your vagina in terms of, like, the kind of panties you wear, right? Now, all nylon is not good.
Well, you want things to breathe.
Right?
G-strings are really hard on the vagina.
Yes.
And I have photos of that, of how the damage that can cause the lips of the vagina from G-strings. So you have to give a lot of TLC to the vagina because it needs it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to your point that you do need to start talking about it at early age. So we teach our daughters you know, the right terminology, and that 65% of women don't even use the word vagina.
Oh, my God.
They use code names.
Vajayjay.
Right?
Vajayjay.
Yeah, you know, whether it's down there. It's
yes.
Down there.
Private parts.
You know, but Harry Potter, Bottomless Pit.
Oh, my God,
you know,
this is
Love
so funny.
Love Canal. I mean, there's a...
Bearded Clam.
Keep going. Yeah, I want to hear them all.
That's so funny. Yeah. I remember with our sex ed, we wrote down all
those
names.
Yeah.
It was a good, like, icebreaker.
Beaver used to be the common
one.
Oh,
yeah.
And Muff.
Muff.
Yeah, no, there's just
box.
Like,
there's just
yeah,
it's just
love
crazy.
Box, yeah, yeah, Bottomless Pit.
Well, love box. Love box is a little bit kinder than the box.
Yeah,
the box. Let's get in the box.
I like to think this book thinks outside the box.
Yes,
exactly.
No,
I'm really curious because there are a lot of celebrity women who have a lot of money and they have babies in their 40s and 50s, but how common is that really? Like, I remember that with this Time magazine or something, when once you hit 35, if you've never been married and you don't have kids, the chances of you having kids is like, you know, that kind of thing. What is it really?
Yes, you're right. I mean, really, the ideal time to get pregnant is in your 30s.
Oh, in your 30s?
30s, not 20s?
Well, in the perfect world, yes, but sort of
maturity
reality,
wise,
you're in your 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, usually, under 35 is going to be optimal.
Yeah,
those women over 44, 45 that you hear about or you see on Newsweek or you know, People magazine, a lot of them have used donor egg.
Right.
Wendy Birch introduces My Baby Maker V and talks about, you know, at 47 she used a donor. Mm. But you hear about those having twins, and you know, and it's really false messaging to women, because if you're over 44, you have about a 2-3% chance of getting pregnant.
Really?
With your own
44.
Over 44, about a 2-3%.
That makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you have such a high miscarriage rate. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But, you know, Evelyn Lozado, who speaks about her recurrent miscarriages at 41, you know, in the same chapter, speaks about it. And, you know, what we're trying to do is talk to women about egg freezing. I mean, between 32 and 37 is the best time to freeze your eggs.
Oh, really?
We're having that conversation more and more. Unfortunately, doctors aren't bringing it up as much as they should.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem, too, is it's expensive. It can be up to $12,000 to $15,000.
Yeah.
But now they're doing some pretty creative clinics that are doing boutique egg freezing and bringing
cool.
the cost down. I mean, there's one in New York that's doing it. There's some really interesting things that are happening. So that's another important conversation that women need to have with their doctors.
I want to talk about the G-spot. Is it real? Can you orgasm from it?
Yeah.
Or is it just this made-up myth?
So it is. It does exist. You know, it can be challenging to find.
Okay.
It's sort of, if you put on the upper area, anterior part of the pubic bone, if you sort of put your finger into the vagina, the superior part of the vagina, and it's about two knuckles into that area. There's sort of like a spongy, rough area. If you put your finger all the way in, you can kind of feel it, and it's sort of there. That's the spot.
Okay.
But some women are more, you know, sort of reactive to it than others.
Oh, okay.
They say 10-50% of women have had sort of this ejaculation from
stimulation
of the G-spot. Other people feel like they're just getting really, really wet, or they've peed in the bed. I mean, it can be confusing.
Sure.
But there are genuine, bona fide squirters out there.
Wow. That's really interesting. I remember reading a book about that, that, like, some woman wrote a book about squirting and all that, and I was always wondering, like, is it real? What's going on?
Yeah, it is real, actually. It's just not as common. Yeah.
It also seriously disturbs me how many women still walk around feeling like they're inadequate because they can't have a, quote, vaginal orgasm.
Oh, right.
And they feel self-conscious that somehow something's wrong with them, and my knowledge that I've always had is that most women, it's easier to clearly.
Right,
so
you could
be having intercourse, but you're stimulating the clitoris, and that's where
That's exactly right. Spontaneous vaginal orgasms without touching the clitoris at all is really hard for many women. There's usually some rubbing. There's something, either the positioning, if a woman's on top and they're able to sort of get stimulated with the penis that way, or if they're touching themselves or their partner's touching them, it's a lot easier. So, yes, it's not easy. And most people don't. Most have it through oral sex or through touching the clitoris.
It's really fascinating.
But it's all education. I mean,
this is,
you know, to your point, it's just everyone should be having these conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think women need to feel less shameful, empower themselves about their bodies, about their sexual appetite, and what other people are doing and experiencing.
Oh, I have another.
I just wanted to talk about the pairing of pleasure and pain that a lot of people have created and how they have orgasms. And not necessarily to the extreme of S&M, but certainly where, you know, people will talk about how they need to tighten up certain muscles in order to get over that hump.
Like Kegels, whatever?
Like having like a pain in one's leg that intensifies the sensation of the orgasm.
It's
because
that
oftentimes has come from childhood experimentation of something where there was something painful associated with.
And I talk about at my Adventurous V chapter. Gina Gershon introduces it, which tells a really cute story. Not as adventurous as one might think with Gina, but there's such a openness, and there are many people that are exploring so many different deviations, I guess, of sexual behavior that to each their own is how I feel about it.
Sure.
And you never know where it existed or where it came from. I mean, I had a patient who told me that she, a partner that she'd with, used to want him to defecate on her over a glass, she'd be under the
table,
the coffee table, and he would defecate on the glass table, and then he would orgasm.
Oh my
God. And it was just like, you know, trying to keep a straight face, like, this stuff does happen.
Yes.
I'd have a hard time giving into that one.
You know, it's sort of like,
really tough.
Okay.
The relationship didn't last long. But
right.
The point being is there is such deviation that we can't even think of.
Yeah,
sure.
Fetishes.
Yeah.
I did want to say, though, Kelly, to your point of the Kegels.
Yes.
That they do help with achieving orgasm for women.
Okay.
They're really, it's sort of a powerful muscle because it's stimulating the pelvic floor. And if you're having penetration with a penis or dildo, whatever, and you do Kegel, it does sort of help in make your orgasm more intense. It's your partner's as well.
And can you do it on your own, or do you need those little like egg shaped things?
Jaded eggs, as Gwyneth would tell you. So though you just listen, you can Kegel away on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fancy high tech things that you can now use and apps you can use.
Apps.
It's crazy. I mean, this is just, I think it's just another thing you can buy. But the truth is, to find your own Kegels and contract them in reps of 10 and do it, you know, 7 to 10 times a day is all you need.
Okay. And then I have a question about a transgender vagina. Can they orgasm? Transgender.
Yeah, I mean, so if it's transgender, if they're going from a male to a female.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be a little more challenging, but they still can have an orgasm.
They still can
be stimulated in different ways from different erogenous zones. It may not be, you know, if the penis is removed, you know, it's a little more challenging, but they find pleasure in different ways.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are there any sex toys out there that could actually harm the vagina?
Well, that's a good question.
It is a really good question.
I was just thinking about it because there are a lot of things that are made now that people shove in there and do things. And is there something people should stay away from?
Well, it's true. And there are certain materials that are better than others that are safer for the vagina. Like silicone's good to use for the vagina. There are other materials you do have to be careful of and chemicals. So you want to use a company that's really reputable.
Okay.
Really sort of well researched to make sure they're not, you know, getting it from, you know, maybe out of the country and have different chemicals that could be potentially dangerous or increase your risk of infection. So that's a really good question.
Oh, what about vegetables?
Vegetables can be used too. I mean, you just listen.
So funny.
The cucumber is a popular, zucchini is very popular as well. I've had a few patients use both. Just make sure they're clean.
Right.
Some women even use a condom over their favorite vegetable, which I think is fine. I'm all for
it. It's a vagina salad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for lunch, a vagina salad.
There are certain instances, you just have to have it.
I would think a semi-rotten cucumber would be better because it would be a little softer and more.
It doesn't have to be organic, let's just say.
Exactly. I was thinking, as we're talking, how many times we've said vagina. Like, imagine if you took a shot every time we said vagina, we'd all be completely wasted.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's funny writing this book to that. Just mainstream media. I can't even really talk about the content of the book other than vaginal health on mainstream media, which was really upsetting, and it sort of made me feel like this is where this vagina revolution has to start, mm-hmm. because this is not right. And that's what's great about radio. And
mm-hmm. Yes, you can just say anything, sure.
Oh, I
talk
know.
Talk about it, and I was on Hulu, Truth and Eliza, and it was all about the vagina.
That's great.
So it's sort of, we're counting on radio and people like
exactly.
you to be our foot soldiers.
Yeah. To spread the word. I want to talk a little bit about PMS. And
I thought you were going to say penises. We haven't even said much about penises today.
Okay. It's all about the vagina today.
Okay. Right. So for people who get really bad PMS, like, what does that mean? Are certain people prone to it? What can you do?
Yeah. So, again, it's a lot about the history, you okay. know, and how disruptive the PMS can be. Because usually a week before your period, you start to feel warmer, you might have breast tenderness, mm-hmm. you might feel a little more weepy, cry at some of the, you know, commercials on TV. But when it's really disruptive and it becomes where you don't go to school or you don't go to work or you're mm-hmm. falling into a bad depression, then it's a little bit more concerning. And we always like to sort of have women track their symptoms over, you know, a good 3 to 6 month period of time to mm-hmm. know how significant it mm-hmm. is. Do they need to be treated with an antidepressant?
Sure.
You know, we always like to look at lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, you sort of want to eat the foods that aren't high in sodium or mm-hmm. sugar, sort of our, you know, basic food groups a lot of us eat are salt, sugar.
All the ones you crave.
Alcohol.
When you
yeah,
have.
Yeah,
all the
yeah,
ones that
right.
you
sugar.
You want to avoid during sure. that week before, uh-huh. 2 weeks before. Certainly want to exercise and mm-hmm. and, you know, you have to give yourself a pass, too.
Yes.
So a lot of times we can treat it with, you know, even some of the vitamin B12s mm-hmm. or B6s, okay. oil evening primrose, vitamin E.
Yeah.
Some vitamins are really helpful as well. And chasteberry is a good natural yes. diuretic.
Mm-hmm. I had a lot of friends when Zoloft was a very popular SSRI that was prescribed, found that they didn't really need the Zoloft all the time, but if they took like a half of a dose a week before their period, it really helped with their PMS. Is that dangerous to do to the body, or is that okay?
Not at all. And some women need it every day, but some just take it sort of that 2 weeks before mm-hmm. their period. Mm-hmm. And listen, that woman who took the half a pill has probably had a great placebo effect as well.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Which That's works. True. We know in medicine, placebos work. Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. there's a lot you can do, and we always like to try with the more healthy alternatives first
right.
you know, when PMS gets to be bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
This is so fascinating. Oh, my gosh. We have been talking with Sherry Ross, Dr. Sherry Ross, and her book, Sheology, just like it sounds, Sheology, The Definitive Guide to Women's Intimate Health, period. I love that part.
I know.
Period.
Exactly.
So we just have a couple minutes left, if you can believe that. So what did we not cover today, or something that you've been itching to talk about that maybe we didn't?
Well, you know, it's really that, if any kind of messaging I can leave the show with is, and your listeners, is that women really have to empower their bodies and their health care and their vaginas, and to speak freely about the most sensitive questions that they have and not feel, you know, embarrassed or mm-hmm. ashamed. Mm-hmm. And I would love to sort of create a movement, changing the narrative, create a vagina revolution, and get the conversation started.
Yes. That sounds wonderful. And you're such a lovely person.
Oh,
like, really. So
great.
I can see the compassion. I know why you won all the awards.
Thank you.
Just
thank
lovely.
You so much.
Where can people find your book?
So it's on Amazon. It's very, it's in the women's sexual health area. But it's funny that it's in sexual health, because it's really, there's so much more mm-hmm. about this book than sexual health. But because the vagina is front and center.
Right.
You know, it all seems to be focused there. But there's so much information in this book. Like I said, if you have a vagina, if you wish you had a vagina, or you love someone with a vagina.
I love that. And then do you have a website people can go
yes,
to also?
Yes, drsherry.com. And uh-huh. I have a lot of, I'm a part of a lot of conversations and different articles and cool. other areas of media. So.
And it is Sherry with a double R-Y.
That's
yes,
right.
There's so many ways to spell
There are. My
Sherry.
Mom spells it with an I. And I spell it with R-R-Y. So.
I know.
So
there you go. Sherry, S-H-I-R-Y, S-H-E-R-R-E-E. There's so many different ways.
Yeah.
This is a fairly common way, yes? The double R-Y?
It is. It is.
But fabulous book. And what's up next for you? Are you going to write another?
Well, you know, funny. I have another 10 chapters that I had to delete from
Whoa.
This chapter.
Oh, really?
I had too many. And
uh-huh.
I would love to do another.
Oh, cool.
Sheology
part two
sequence.
Oh, I love that.
That's
so cute.
That's so cute.
So we'll see. But I love doing it. I love just being a part of the conversation and want to lead the conversation. So
it could be a sequel, too.
A sequel. That's right. That's right.
I love it. Uh-oh.
Yeah, next week we have author Andrea Avery, who it's fascinating. She, at a young age, had rheumatoid arthritis. She was a classical piano player going to Juilliard, and then she got juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, so she wrote an amazing memoir, so that'll be really interesting.
Beautiful. Yay. Cool. Yeah, we have a good lineup of guests in the next
couple weeks.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you again, Dr. Sherry
Thanks
Ross.
Thanks for having
been
me.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Thank you.
It's always good to see your face.
You too.
We can talk vagina anytime.
All right.
Love it. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.